Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's often podcast.
Yes.
How's it going, Jen?
It's going.
That's Jen, one of our hosts, and I am Garth, your other host, for talking about Japanese Mahjong from Japan.
Yes.
Because that's where we are. That's why we play Japanese Mahjong.
In Japan.
We are totally, could not be much more in Japan. And I suppose there are parts of Japan that are more Japan than other parts of Japan.
Oh, I went to one of those this weekend.
You totally went to Super Japan.
It was super duper Japan.
Yeah, it's like about as Japan as it can get without being like just where we are right now.
And the bus from the airport was just like a local bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the bus to the airport from the city runs every 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked at the map and it said there was a train station and this was the train road. It said Densha Dori. And so
there's a road named for the train?
Yeah, I guess. That's so I went out and I started looking, like I obviously didn't, there was no like big station, so I started looking for a subway entrance. Uh-huh. And then I realized that when they said train they meant trolley car. It's just the street tracks.
No road.
And I went to the station-ish, the stop, because it's more like a bus stop, or like, what are those called? Trolley stop?
Yeah, I guess it would be a trolley stop, yeah.
And then, so I was about to leave, but the guy saw me, because it's like that local. I mean, there's like three people on it, right? And he saw me kind of like walking up onto the little platform. And and so I just waved at him and he opened the door. I'm like, does this go to the aquarium? And he's like, oh yeah. I'm like, okay, I pay when I get off. He's like, yeah. And he opened up the door for me in the
that
back.
That is so awesome. Like, he's just like, he's looking at his group of three customers and he's like, oh wow, I wonder if I could increase my customers by 33%. Just waiting for this random white person who happens to be walking towards me.
And he did. Sure.
Way to go, him.
But the airport bus didn't wait for me. When the next day, I had to go ride on the airport. I wanted to ride on the 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And so I sat waiting for the light on Train Street to change so I could use the crosswalk. Because it was just like right in front of my hotel, basically. Uh-huh. I just had to cross the street. I just had to cross Train Street to get to the bus stop. And I could see the bus there. Mm. And waiting for the light to change. And after, like, I don't know, 1,000 minutes. It was probably, like, 4 minutes. It was probably, like, 4 minutes. Because there's not... It's only for crosswalks.
Wow.
So it's a pretty busy street. And you got trolleys and buses and cars. So when I finally crossed, I seriously walked up and I watched the door close on the bus and it drive away. And I know the guy saw me with the luggage, too.
People like that. And you know there are people out there that are like, oh, dude, watch this. I can screw this person over. Oh, this is going to be great. And they feel great because they are bad people.
Well, he probably didn't know how long I was waiting at the crosswalk. So maybe, I don't know. But so maybe it wasn't that devious. But the next bus came in 15 minutes. It's every 15 minutes to the airport, like. Well, you can't get that in Tokyo. Even the Narita Express isn't that common.
Well, but also, there are just so many other options to get to Narita that...
That's true. There are a lot of options. Like Haneda.
And pretty much all of them are faster than the Express anyway.
Yeah.
You really have to be choosing the exact right time for the Express to be faster than any of the other options.
Well, for me, it's... just as fast, because going to Tokyo is a straight shot for me. And it's not fast for me to go to any of the other places. I have to change trains. And Tokyo, I only have to change once
to get to the
Narita Express from Shinjuku.
Right.
So for me, Narita Express usually is the fastest. And there is one Narita Express from Tachikawa that leaves at like 6 in the morning. So if you have a morning flight, that's perfect.
Wow.
It's like the best ever.
Look at that.
But I usually take my car anyway.
Well, there you go. There's some travel information for all of you Mahjong fans that might happen to be in Tokyo one of these days.
Yes, and I played zero Mahjong in Kagoshima, surprisingly.
Wow. Did you see any Mahjong parlors?
I didn't. But I'm sure there must have been some,
probably,
because
I guess, but
yeah, but I was in the like kind of red light district. Yeah, use your joke. Go ahead, go for it.
I don't know. I didn't have a joke. I was just like, oh well, that's where you go. You're like, oh, it's first place you go. You're like, oh, okay. Or first time you go, you're like, oh well, I guess I better check out the red light district.
No, that's happened to be where I booked my hotel. I just intuitively, apparently.
Right.
Always book it in the red light.
You know where you're headed, right there. Way to go.
I don't know exactly.
So you must have found good stuff around there.
Well, but I think the red light district is like one street. But there was a new club.
There's
in
one
my
red light.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes forever to change, so you miss the bus.
That's funny.
But there was a new club light, okay, in my hotel.
Uh huh. A new club in your hotel.
Yeah. You know the new clubs, right?
Oh, new.
Kura. Yeah. So, like, I don't know, because it depends on where you go what each thing means. So, like, Kyabakura in Tokyo just means, like, drinking and talking, right? Kyabakura, usually.
Yeah. With perhaps a little bit of grabbing, if depending on how accepting the girls are, I think. I don't know. That's when the one time that somebody told me, the one time that took me to Kyabakura, he was like, dude, you can grope a little bit if you want. I was like, really? I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not
like grabbing chest?
No, it was, I don't know, actually. I really don't know. I didn't really
ask for clarification.
Yeah, so I
imagine that's probably more about the bum. And like holding hands and maybe the thigh and stuff like that, I would imagine.
Yes. That's kind of the impression I got. Yeah, yeah. not the.
So the Kyabakura in Hokkaido, they actually have a dark time, where you can.
Oh, I have heard of those.
Yeah,
too.
So that's what Kyabakura is in Hokkaido. It's different than the Kyabakura, but in Hokkaido, the Nyukura, the new club, is actually the same as the Kyabakura in Shinjuku. So it's really confusing when you go to different places. So I don't know if the new club in my hotel meant that, or if Kagoshima new clubs are just something totally different. And that's, I guess I can tweet about it. I guess I'll tweet about it today
to
and
find out
try and find
exactly
out
what.
Yeah, so this is like a whole
miss
new. Yeah, the club dialect is totally different. And then like also like in so in like Ginza, the club or whatever they call them, a club, the really nice places where. It's like snakku, but really high class.
Right.
So it's like you go from snakku, which is just like you go and drink, and maybe they have some girls, maybe they don't. You can do karaoke and stuff like that. And then the next level is kyabakura and stuff like that. And then above that is club, which is actually more like the snack. It's more like the lower level. It just costs a lot more.
Right.
So, and then maybe they have girls in kimonos and stuff like that, too. So in Osaka, those clubs are called lounges. So it's all, like, really different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wherever
I don't,
you go.
Obviously, I don't quite have all the experience there because it's god-awful expensive.
Yeah, it is really expensive.
And I'd rather just go get drunk somewhere.
The host bars are really fun. Like, the Kyabakura and host bars are really fun, though. They're really fun because it's just, like, somebody just listening to you talk and asking questions about you all night while you drink.
I have to admit, when some of my friends do drag me out and, you know, and I've said, like, dude, I don't have any, I'm not buying. And they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. When I get dragged out to some of those places, they are actually kind of fun in the end. Because then when you're just going to have fun and when everybody is just like, all right, we're just going to have fun and sing and be goofy idiots, yeah, people tend to have a pretty good time.
Yeah. The only thing about that's not fun about those is that they usually have other customers, too, that they're tending to while they're tending to you. So if they don't, then it's really fun because it's just, like, all you.
That's the good thing about going at 3 in the morning on a Tuesday,
yeah,
you know?
Or you could go at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, apparently.
Oh,
because they have hostess bars for the people. They have hostess bars for the bartenders that finish working at, like, 6. And they can go to the hostess bar after that.
Are you kidding
me?
Jesus. So they go home around noon, apparently? Wow.
Yeah, they have like 24 hours. So
that is ridiculous. All right,
you Mahjong players.
For all of you Mahjong players that then wanted a little bit more information about where to go after hours, yes.
But when I went to the host... Okay, here's Mahjong. When I went to the host club, Partway through, they said they knew my name was Jen, and they're, wait, are you the Jen from Mahjong Fight Club? And then all the hosts wanted to take a picture with me, which was pretty awesome. that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, yeah. Actually.
Like the manager.
All the guys that are trying to be in there to get somebody to pay money to be with them, they're like, oh, dude, can I take a picture with you?
Yeah, and so, like, the Tencho and stuff, like, they left the girls that they were attending to come take a picture with me. That felt awesome.
That is pretty cool.
So, there's your Mahjong
Mahjong
segue.
Moment, yes. So yeah, this is one of the reasons that we may have been a little bit quiet of late is that this is a sort of weird off season for Mahjong in our league at least.
Yeah.
Our league, at least we finish in January, unless you've managed to play it out into some of the tournaments that happen later in the at the very end of the season, you really just have nothing to do between the beginning of January and the beginning of April.
Yes.
So we have had precious little Mahjong to play, although we did get invited to play in a tournament.
It was going to be the Sparta Cup, but it turned out to be the Sparta Kai, I think.
Oh, Sparta Kai. Oh, really?
Sparta Kai.
It wasn't Sparta Hai?
Sparta Hai. I think it was Kai.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
Well, because every week it is the Sparta Kai.
It was going to be Sparta Hai.
And then it
became Sparta Kai Tournamento or something like that. They changed the name. It would have been better being the Sparta Cup Hai.
Yes, especially because
but
at
it
that
wasn't.
When they were doing it that way, there wasn't such a ridiculous seating system. And then when they decided to make it Sparta Kai, I guess.
Yeah, that said four people seated into each round.
Yeah.
With five rounds.
And so that did mean that the round before the very final round, a few people also started there.
Yeah. And out of those four people, two people made it to the final
because,
table.
Yeah. How couldn't they? Well, yeah, I suppose none of them. All of the four people who came up from below could have won. Only two of them won. So, oh, wow. Way to value your seeds. Seeds? you really showed your worth there, didn't you? Good job.
And then we played two games in the final table.
Two games. Okay, yes. So, without trying to disparage the few top seeds who managed to make it to the final table, how about talking about one of the other totally non-seeded players who managed to make it to the final table?
Yes.
Was that me? No, it was not me. A totally non-seeded player who did not make it past the very first table. But another totally non-seeded player who did make it past the first table and in fact made it all the way to the finals. That would be Jen.
Yay! I won five games in a row.
Way to go. You really, really kicked ass.
Yeah. And then the final table, I did make one mistake, and if I hadn't made that mistake, it would have been a completely different game. I would have got at least Baimon with that hand. So, I don't know, maybe I was burned out, I don't know. I just kind of rushed and made an error.
The pressure does get to you after a while. And you wonder, what if those people who made it to the finals had all had to play under that pressure the entire way
True.
To get there?
But I think actually part of it was that some of the pressure felt like some of the pressure was off.
Oh,
one
yeah.
thing, I made it to the final table. The other thing is that until the last day,
uh-huh.
everybody was really silent, and you really felt nervous playing, you know?
Uh-huh.
But there was one player in my last three games
uh-huh.
who was very chatty and kind of loud, and it kind of got rid of the nervous feeling,
uh-huh.
you know? Because it's just like...
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't happy, but it was more like just...
Playing around.
Yeah.
So everybody's just having fun?
No, so, not having fun.
Oh.
But it didn't feel like it's serious.
Huh.
It wasn't fun for me.
Huh.
Maybe that person had fun, I don't know. But it didn't feel serious anymore. It felt like... It felt less serious than the study sessions, actually.
Wow. That is really weird.
So I think maybe if I had the nervousness, I might have done better. Because when you're nervous, you know, I was afraid to make a mistake, so I didn't.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've noticed that a little bit about myself also, that when I'm playing for the camera, I don't do things that I might normally. I don't go for things that I might normally just screw it. I'll just, you know, who gives a shit what I'm doing right now? I'm just gonna go for it. And then when I'm playing for the camera, it's like, oh, I know this is probably not really good mahjong, so I'm not gonna do that. And you know what's really annoying? Okay, so just for a second to talk about me in that tournament, because it's not gonna be a very long conversation, because I was only in for the very first round. Oh, I'm thinking about a different tournament. Sorry.
It doesn't matter. So you can talk about that one. You're talking about the
very similar things happened. Yes, Tenku. Yeah. So another tournament that happened the week before that, which sort of just really compounded my frustration with mahjong at the moment. And everybody saw the way I played, and everybody who saw that match said I played awesome. I played really, really, really good mahjong, and the people who won played. No, all right. The guy who actually won that three games that we played, he just got one hand after another. So, you know, oh, wow, what does he have to worry about? He just went for it every single hand. He threw Hanuman to me once, threw 12,000 points to me once. I had reached with Chitoitsu, and I had waited with seven pairs. I'd reached with seven pairs, and I had waited to get to the weight for I was waiting for Dora.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached, and he threw Dora for me. You know, it's like, you know, I reached and he still throws Dora. And that's the thing about how great a player he is, that he can just go for it every single time. And he knows he's going to be lucky enough, because he reads luck that well, I guess, that he's just going to win enough that, no, who cares if he throws Hanuman sometimes? He's going to get enough other really big hands that he's going to win, you know. And he's had a really impressive run for the last... I don't know, half a year or so, I'd say. Like he won in league, he's won in other little tournament things that they've done, and he, I think he's done pretty well in the Tenku thing, yes, and he also made it to the final table with you, right?
Ide?
Yes.
Yes.
So
I had no idea who you were talking about.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he won five. He didn't win five games. So the first table we were together, and I got first, and he got second, and then he got first for the rest of the games, I think.
So, from what I can tell, it's far more important to be lucky, to just keep getting really, really big hands all the time, than to actually play well. And he, you know, what was interesting.
I felt like in this tournament that I reached with things I might not normally reach with in league.
Uh-huh.
I definitely played very different than I would play in league, very different. One thing was it was a B rules.
Right.
Another thing was it's just one game. So I did a lot of...
That does make a big difference.
I did a lot of reaches with Kanchan Machi, the gut shot weights.
Uh-huh.
Especially in the first game, because I was not doing well.
Uh-huh.
Other people were doing hands. I wasn't getting anything. And so I just had to reach with my gut shot and not wait. When in league, I would probably wait it out. And I did that more than once, and I ended up drawing them and things like that. So... I definitely played very differently, and definitely played just for that game.
I wonder how differently... So if I had played similarly in my first round, in that tournament that you're talking about, I had pretty much nothing to deal with until the very last hand of the game. I was dealer. So I get to be dealer for the very last hand of the game. It's a big chance for me to make up all the points that I couldn't make up throughout the rest of the game. As it turned out, I got to ready with a hand. I had Ipeko in the hand. I had I had double run in the hand already,
yeah.
But I was waiting for the two of dots. I had the three and one of dots, and there was already one two out. And there were no. I don't remember seeing any fours out yet. So I was thinking, all right, I can change to the four. If I get it, and if worse comes to worse, I can still win off the two, and then I still have my turn as dealer, and I can keep trying to, you know, work on it. So I didn't reach. And after a few rounds or so, Tonchan, through my two, so I won my double runs only hand for 2,000 points. And after, you know, what ended up happening is that I think we had one more hand where two of us finished
ready,
so that I got another hand as dealer. And then, totally crazily, the girl in very last place just who needed probably about she needed
Mangan straight from Ton or Hanemon if she drew it herself.
Exactly. Yeah. So she needed more than I think like 7,000 points to get ahead of me. So even if she drew Mangan, she would only get ahead of me.
Yeah, and she needed to get second place.
She only needed
to get second place.
The way this tournament worked is, yeah, whoever was in first and second place got to continue on. And so she just managed, as it happened, Tonchan threw her winner, which was just enough to get in front of me and put Tonchan below her so that she managed to win coming from last
Which is why she didn't reach, because she knew if Ton threw it, then she could win off her. And if she drew it, it was going to be a Hanemon hand.
Great play by her, but seriously, super crazy, like, oh, wow. And I think, in fact, the fact that it was too...
She totally built that hand, though. She aimed for that score and built that hand.
Okay, so let's use another example. So, a week earlier, in the Tenku thing, I get nothing for 3 games. I get that one hand where I win Hanemon off of Ide, who's just, you know, who just gets one hand after another because he's really great at reading luck, I guess, so he gets to win all the time. I'm not very good at winning luck, so I have to keep trying to make hands, and I'm just not getting any hands to make. Finally, you know, it gets to the end. I've made a big mistake by reaching on, because I'm not lucky. I probably reached on a hand that I shouldn't have reached on. So I reached...
Huh? Okay, no, let's keep on.
So, because I did not read my luck right, I reached where I probably shouldn't have. Turns out I ended up throwing Oyaman, you know, dealer Mangan, to the guy who was in third place, the only person I needed to beat in that final game, who played ridiculously that hand by not poning Chun, not poning the red dragon the first time that it came out. He waited till the next tile when it came out again, because I had just thrown it as after I reached, and then somebody threw it after that. Oh, okay, great play. Way to read your luck there, dude. Way to realize that by not pwning my red dragon, by pwning the red dragon after that, you would continue to draw really great trials. Way to go, dude. Way to go. That's learned. That's really
reading
luck.
Can we talk about the hosts again that want to take pictures of me?
Yeah. obviously, I'm very bitter about Mahjong right now, and the people that I see winning. Sorry, I didn't see you play, so I cannot berate the way you played. But the people that I see winning lately play such crap, and there's really no justifying the things that they do. You look at the way they play, and they are just lucky. And the only thing I can say is, wow, they really know how to read luck.
So what I did is I just really switched gears a lot. When I was pushing, and I really folded a lot, actually. But
yes.
But I went for it a lot too, and I actually made a reach when both Moriyama and Maehara had reached. Mm. I reached with a gut shot after them because the hand was big, and I didn't end up winning it. But I had won enough of those gut shots before that. I mean, it was worth it. The payoff would have been worth it if I had, and I didn't. That's fine, but. Big mistake I made was a Chinitsu, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Chinitsu, and, you know, I mean, I can hardly berate you for having a tough time with Chinitsu, because I get to, you know, not even ready. Like, I'll still have one tile that obviously I can't use. Like, so it'll be all Pinzu, and then I'll have Ton, so I'm just trying to, like, oh my god, what would I pwn here? And if I did pwn this, what would my weight be? And then I don't want to, like, wait a long time to try to figure out what I'm doing, because then everybody's going to know exactly what's going on in my hand.
Yeah, that was the problem. I'm not going to wait too long, and I knew what my weight was. I really should have changed it.
That's trouble.
Because I was more in the mode of, this isn't my winner, then I need to change my weight. I lost a lot of sleep after that.
Yeah, I don't know. But you really practice looking at Chinitsu weights a little bit, don't
I
you?
I do. I haven't lately.
Okay.
I do normally, when I have time.
Because I've been thinking that is something that I need to do, too, because it also, another thing, in that situation, I think that might be one place where you really didn't need to worry about that. Because I would imagine most of the players at the table probably knew that you were Shinitsu.
That's true.
And so it probably wouldn't have made that big a difference if you had waited to to check your weight there.
Yep, and that's what I thought as soon as I discarded it. I mean, like, yeah, basically everything everyone has said to me, I've thought of 1,000 times already by myself, you know? It's like, I mean, it's fine, you can tell me, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly what my weight would have been. I know exactly how many points I would have had. I know exactly what I should have discarded. I know it all.
That is frustrating. Yes, that is frustrating when you can look back and say, "Wow, I really should have played that."
Especially
better.
When you can look at a look back a second later and not like.
Mm. Although you know what?
After the game,
right?
You know?
So that's frustrating. You look back and you're like, "Oh wow, I really could have played that better." You know what? Actually, turns out to be just as frustrating. To look back and think, wow, I really couldn't have played that any better. And in fact, everybody tells me I couldn't have played that any better. And in fact, everybody looks at it and says, wow, you played awesome. Like, you really just didn't make any mistakes at all. You
really
played great.
I mean, to be honest, awesome.
To be awesome. Yes, please be awesome.
I think maybe you should stop listening to those people. Because I certainly don't think that I was playing what they would consider really good Mahjong.
Well,
and I definitely played for myself the entire time.
All right, to be fair, I don't always value most of their opinions very much anyway.
So then why are you now?
Because actually, I also thought I played really awesome. And so if I was the only person that thought I played awesome, and then everybody's like, oh, well, you could
maybe
have done this.
Maybe you're thinking like them.
You could have done this.
Maybe that's a problem.
Well, they get to win. Playing the way they do.
None of those people were at the final table with me, and all of them played in the tournament.
That's a good point. But they are all people who get to be on TV.
Yes, but they don't win. Well, I'll tell you, the people who are playing on TV are not the people who win.
They won somewhere to get onto TV.
Not necessarily.
Well, the guys that I was talking to.
Okay, like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Or 10 years ago, even.
And then having
even 10 years ago is like that's like a million years in Mahjong time.
And then having won a million years ago, they just get to keep riding that wave of having won.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. So maybe you should listen to me instead. You want me to coach you?
There's a lot of that. Dude, come to Sparta. That's the only place I get to play anymore.
I would love to. Maybe
that
I should.
That would be awesome if, like, every time somebody said something, and then you just chime in and you're like, you know, actually, I think. And then if somebody objected, you'd be like, oh, did you make it to the final table? This is Sparta, Kai, right? This is the Sparta
Yeah,
group?
Why am I not the teacher already?
That would be pretty awesome.
Maybe we can arrange it so I can come to some Sparta.
Somebody says something to me, I'm like, you know what? I'd like to hear what Jen has to say about this.
Kono used to do that for me. When
really?
We would have, I used to go to study sessions with Kamimura, which is a guy that joined with us, and people like Uchikawa and stuff went to them. And Kono would actually ask my opinion.
Really?
At that time, I was playing every day at the parlor that I was working at, and that I kind of...
Very nice.
Owned, and I was winning in league and everything. Yeah.
Well done.
And he would ask me, and I had opinions, and I was winning. I was working in the parlor every day, and I was a winning player in the parlor every day.
Mm. Wow.
I was the only winning player at our parlor at that
done.
Time. So... Oh. Yeah, I'm not that bad, you know? I make mistakes, and sometimes I'm really stupid, but I'm not a bad player or a bad driver.
All right. I can't let that go, because when I was working in Parlor 2, I was always a winning player.
Yeah,
too.
Right? So maybe you should, like, just stop valuing them. Maybe we should come up with our own Sparta Kai.
Maybe I should not play in tournaments with people who are really lucky. Or at least people who know how to read luck. Because obviously they're good at doing that, which is really
important. Let's make
a
YouTube Jen and Garth Kai.
Well,
we'll teach our own stuff.
It would be really nice to have tournaments where...
At least where everyone started at the same level.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, game on. So, since there wasn't a lot of Mahjong recently to talk about, you got to hear a bit of a bit more ranting, at least from me.
It's the same amount of ranting that I usually hear.
Yeah. All right. So Jen is probably used to it. You all probably are a little bit like, oh, Jesus, Garth.
But Garth is playing lots on Run Run. He's a guest on Sunday, or was a guest on Sunday. If you hear this after that,
I will be a guest on Sunday. I took third for the pros last month in the gold thing.
Oh, and I'm playing in the Silver League this month, so come play with me in the Silver League.
I'll be playing in the Gold League.
Garth will be playing in the Gold League. And you have to play lots more games in the Gold League, so you'll see Garth on there a lot. I only have to play 8 games. Garth has to play 12.
You know, I finally figured out the system this month. I thought it was your best 12-game streak. But once you play 12 games, it's just your best average in any... It's just the best time your average is after 12 games.
Oh.
Did you not know that until I just said that?
I thought it was a streak, too.
See?
I thought they got rid of the first game when you had played the 13th one.
That's what I thought. And so then I kept wasting my time after getting a bunch of big minuses. And then, like, I had another good 12-game streak where I was like, woohoo, I'm back in first. And then I suddenly wasn't in first. I was like, holy crap, what the crap?
But it's your best average, right?
It's your best average of all of your games. So.
It's really confusing. I don't care. I'm just going to play my 8 games.
Yeah.
And maybe some more.
Because generally your best average seems to be in those first 8 games, probably. Because if you have a bad game, if you have any bad games in your first 1, 2, 3, 4 games, your average is probably not going to get that much better unless you have a really ridiculous string of games after that.
Yeah, and it's hard to get that many games in the league because you can only play weekends. Right. So come join us on the weekends.
Yes, we'd love to see you.
And so, follow us on Twitter.
Yes. I'm Garthy, G-A-R-T-H-E-E-E.
And I'm Mahjong Jen. Just one letter at a time and all those. No doubles.
And we still always, as always, love to hear from you there or by email. Garth, I am Garth, E-G-A-R-T-H-E, only one E, at reachmahjong.com.
I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
Give us a holler. Tell us some things you want to hear about. Otherwise, you're just going to hear me rant a lot of the time, which is probably going to get a little boring.
Yeah, questions. We love those.
We do.
So,
as do you love the answers. So yes, thanks for listening, and we will come back to you again soon when we have lots more to talk about.
See ya!